let's get serious for a minute, man, because our youth are, you know, our youth is in trouble. I'm sitting up here feeling emotional, man. Like, it's almost like I want to cry because, you know, Dr. Tarn have to deal with this every day. And, you know, it's like sometimes I try to block it out, man. But you made some good points while we were playing the song, man. Something to talk about. Let's start from the first thing we were talking about. When they took prayer out of schools, what happened?
Well, when you take prayer out of school, you take morality out of schools. And then you took corporal punishment on top of that. So you took morality and you took discipline out of schools. And we wonder why kids are raising hell every day. And so you look at the number of families that are divided. And so here's the way it works. If you kill the man, then you kill the marriage, then you kill the family, then you kill the neighborhood, and then you kill the people. And that's what's happening every single day. You know, we're doing this bullying tour, you know, as a station. In every single school we go to, we ask who has a father in their life. We were over at Coretta Scott King. 20% of the girls stood up. 20.
Ricky said that they don't have a father.
Right. No. 80% said they didn't. 20% said they had a relationship with their father. They immediately started crying. That's where the bullying is coming from.
And y'all had to stop the program
to pass out tissue for the number of girls that were crying because they don't have a father in their life. And then on top of that, there are a number of kids that don't have a parent in their life. We have a parenting crisis. They might be there, but how many parents really pour into their children and say, I love you, I care for you? How many kids have been exposed to what their purpose is in God?
Right.
How many, it used to be back in the day when you went to Sunday school, you at least had a choice between heaven and hell.
That's right.
Right now, our kids are not even being exposed to God. And I'm going to be intentional about it. We have to bring, churches have to be active. Youth ministries have to go to the school and say, listen, if we can't come in during the day, we're willing to have an after school program for everyone at the school.
That's right. And what are your thoughts on, let's talk about Sunday school, because we went to Sunday school every single Sunday, man. And it's more than just going to church, listening to the choir and the pastor. But, man, when you get in Sunday school, man, you have a really good Sunday school teacher like I had. Because people really don't go to Sunday school.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I go to a church here. We have a youth ministry. We do it differently. I mean, we infuse in Christian hip hop. We go up to the school and recruit kids to come to our church, and they come by the masses. That's new age youth ministry, to where it doesn't look like someone in a suit and tie. It looks like someone that's not judging you, that's sitting down, having a conversation with you and mentoring you. We have kids coming out the woodworks, and you see, you know, what Coco Brothers doing and starting the movement. That is the protocol now for youth ministry. We can't sit in a church and look at empty pews. You have to go to where the kids are and invite them to come to the community and tell them about God.
All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning.
My name is Tasha. I'm calling from Lansing, Michigan. And I just want to know, what can parents do to help their children after they've been bullied?
I mean, one, let them understand that it's not their fault. But two, you also have to understand why they're being bullied. See, once we understand that, then we're able to empower them. Is it a lack of assertiveness? Is it the fact that they're different? Is it the school doesn't have structure and discipline? Once we figure it out, then we're able to address it properly.
All right, appreciate that. Good morning.
My name is Jason. I'm calling from Dallas Tech. A question I have about the Trayvon Martin case is, if this was a young white male, a young white boy, and that was Zimmerman or a black man that had shot and killed a young white boy, do you think that we would be in this situation?
Now, hold that question. We're gonna come back to that, because I really don't want to get off track, because I really want to talk about you know, what's wrong with our youth. Just hold that thought right there about the I don't want to go back and forth about the Trayvon Martin, but because we're really talking about stuff that our kids need.
Now, Dr. Sartre, now, when you was talking about, like, you know, the breakdown and the absenteeism of, like, you know, fathers and, you know, in homes, what do you think is at the root of all that? Why is that number raising rapidly?
Lack of education. When you kill a kid's education, as a man, he can't make any money. He can't make a living for himself. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't know who he is in God, and then he's not able to complete school, he's not able to make any money. So what use is he as a provider and as a protector?
Wow.
And so one thing you understand about men is that we are creatures of ego. And if I can't do anything for you financially because I'm not doing well, then I'm going to abandon my family because I cannot protect and provide.
But if a man don't have a job, or whatever, I got a little cousin that got six kids, or whatever. And one thing I say about him, he be broke as hell. But when I tell you, he'll call me and say, hey, man, can I bring my kids over where they can go swimming? I said, he said, we want to go swimming. I said, yeah, you can drop your kids off, but you got to go find a job. And you drop the kids off, that's fine, or whatever. But he get them and spend time with them, man. And I think that's the least you could do, man. And I hate to see a man. I understand. I hate to see a man feel that way. But I would love to see men just trying to get some, because it's free to go to the park.
Well, you know, and also, we're talking about generations of fatherlessness. If you're not learning about, you know, who God is and what it means to be a father,
right,
then how do you know how to be an active father to your children? You just repeat the same cycle. So that means this is not going to correct itself. That means that as a church, we have to move forward and say, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to father you.
That is such a good point, Dr. Todd. I was talking to a friend of mine whose father was not, he wondered why his mom was mad all the time. He was like, all I remember in high school is my mom was mad all the time. And then as he got older, he realized it was because his father was always broke. He would never come around. He didn't do the things that he was supposed to do. And he realized, when we talk about black women and why they're so angry, this is kind of what broke down their family.
I mean, absolutely. When you look at it, so many different feelings that kids have. Why is mom upset? But mom should be upset. She's having to raise, being the mom and the dad all by herself. And what we see is what will be. And if you don't see a father, how do you know how to be a great father?
Yeah. Hey, we're talking to Dr. Tart, man. We're talking about bullying and some of the problems that our kids had. This man is a licensed psychologist, man. One of the best and one of the youngest in the game, man. We absolutely love having him on the show. And what we're going to do this morning, man, we're just going to go on and run with this, man, because it's a big problem. It's spring. Everybody's getting out of control, man, and we just got to talk about it because a lot of people out here need help. Hey, let me say something right quick. We got to put in a song right quick. Let me say this right here for all of the men out here that have their kids and spend time with their kids, okay? Now, in every community, there's a little kid that live across the street or down the street. They go to your church. You take your kids to the Universal Soul Circus, or you take them to Chuck E. Cheese, and you know it's a kid down the street that don't have a father, you know, and you have a little extra money. God is good, you know. God is good now. You know, take the time. Take the time. Go pick that kid up. And I want you to understand is when you start helping other folks, you know, folks, it ain't just about you and your kids. We really have to reach across the fence and help somebody else's kid. Now, understand this. Make sure that your motive is intact. And understand that everybody ain't going to appreciate it. But if God put it on your heart to do the right thing, to take the other kid to the circus or to the fair, take them. Go ahead, Dr. Tom.
What you just said is the discipleship model, 1-on-12. We keep thinking that mentoring needs to be 1-on-1, but if you sit down 1 hour a week, one man with 12 boys, they're going to listen.
That's right.
And they're going to have a father figure. And if we do that as a people, the discipleship model, we will win our community back. It doesn't have to be 1-on-1.
Right.
What if you did that 5 hours a week, just 5 hours a week, and you met with 12 boys at a time? You can impact the life of 60 boys
Absolutely.
A week, one man.
Absolutely, and everybody, they all might not turn out right. Some of them might start smoking and drinking, but you know in your heart that you tried to help somebody, then your life will be. The Bible, the song said, if I can help somebody, then my life will not be in vain. It's not about just you and your kids. We got to step out. You got to step out outside of the box. Here's the big problem. When they took prayer and everything out of school, now the teachers scattered the principal.
Mm-hmm.
The principal's afraid of the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
The superintendent's afraid of the parents. And the kids ain't afraid of nobody.
Nobody yep. at all. Nobody at all.
Lawlessness. And that's not fair to our kids.
And believe it or not, the teachers are afraid of some of these kids. Afraid of the students as well.
Yeah. It's bad, man, when the teacher got to sit in there. And, man, I'm telling you, man, just like we had this big movement about Trayvon Martin, just like we organized for the 2008 Barack Obama presidential campaign.
Yes.
It is time for us to take our communities back. Let's get prayer and corporal punishment back in schools, because it's needed, because it's out of control. There, like you said, lawlessness. What if we said, hey, the police officer can't put us in jail for running red lights and selling dope? Then the whole country would be out of control. That's the reason why you have laws.
Here's the deal. If you know God, if kids know God, they don't raise as much hell.
Right.
We're not giving them a choice.
Because of fear.
Well, there's consequences. There are things that happen when you don't do right. Rick, we were talking about this. You were talking about even in front of your grandfather, there are certain things you won't say. You don't have a drink in front of him. There's certain, my father, even, I love and respect him and my mother, but they still strike fear in me about some things now.
Right.
I'm happy that it's like that.
Right now, Dr. Tartt, I got an 86-year-old grandfather, and I will pour him Crown and Coke, but I will not have a glass of wine in front of my grandfather because he established respect and fear. I will not drink. My oldest daughter smokes. She's military, but I ain't never seen her smoke a cigarette. Never. She just disappear after we eat, and she come back in or whatever. She won't smoke in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, because
just out of respect.
And we have to bring that back for our kids. When you think about discipleship, that's discipline. That's the root word. To discipline, to measure, to train, to shape, to mold. Is it really our kids' fault when we're not actively shaping and molding them and telling them who God is? Here's how you can do it without violating church and state. Do you know that in schools, if a kid wants to start a Bible study, they can do it? They can do it on their own, and as it grows, then the school can assign a faculty mentor. Now, the faculty can't do it on their own because of church and state, but if churches teach their youth ministry to go out to your respective schools and start a Bible study, watch how many kids want to be poured over.
I want one kid in every single school that can hear my voice to start Bible study.
Yes.
Let's get it going. Let's let them know that Jesus is King, because without him, we are nothing.
It's called rebuilding character.
We are nothing.
And it's so confusing. Yeah, you take it out of schools, but then on your money and God we trust. It's like the kids are saying, okay, we can't pray in school, but we can put it on our money. Money's important.
And we place the flag, one nation under God, every single day.
Exactly.
But now it's time for us to stop making excuses and get out there in the schools, just like Ricky said.
Good morning.
My name is Demetria, and I'm from Fort Worth. I have a question as to how do you teach your kids to defend themselves without starting to become a bully?
All right, number one, we have to make sure that our schools are structured and ordered so that there's some sense of order. They don't feel like they have to retaliate because the teachers and the principals completely lost control. And then two, we have to teach our kids, especially our males, to stand up for themselves and verbally communicate and make eye contact.
Right.
How many times do you meet with a male that won't even look you in the eye?
They don't even know how to shake hands.
If you listen to this, if you won't look another man in the eye, that shows passiveness to another man.
Right.
And so that means that you are an easy victim of prey. You cannot allow your boys to walk around and not make eye contact with people. That should be lesson number one.
And teach them how to shake hands.
Woo!
Not dap.
And not that soft limp stuff.
Not dap. Grip, shake hands, and make a firm handshake with eye contact. Even Gary with the teeth, shake your hand. Gary with the teeth, shake your hand. He give you a firm handshake with eye contact. Then he go back to being Gary with the teeth. Let's go to the phone. Good morning.
My name is Kevin Jackson. I'm calling from Georgia. And my question is, how do we get the community back, our neighborhoods back, and involved into youth?
Oh, that's very easy. Youth are waiting for someone to speak to them and say, I want to spend time with you. We're walking by youth shaking our heads, and they want relationship. Like we said before, discipleship model. Say, hey, I'm going to spend time with 12 boys. This is where we're going to go. We're going to sit down, the local church, restaurant, recreation. And I'm just going to sit down and listen. I'm not going to preach to you a lecture. I just want to know what's going on in your world. The best way to create relationship is to be interested, genuinely interested, in the kids in your community. When you're genuinely interested in who they are as a person, then they're genuinely interested in their community, and they don't act out because they're noticed. The one thing we all want is more attention, and we want to know that people know who we are. There's so many kids that don't get enough time from their parents in the community. And so what they do is they act out, and then they get the attention. Why don't we go first by being genuinely interested in all of our kids in the community and say, hey, my name is Dr. Tartt. I want to sit down and just find out what's going on in your life for an hour. I'll buy y'all some Chick-fil-A. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You tell me, they say no, Ricky. Not a single kid.
Absolutely. You know, and shout out to all the Little League football coaches, man, that's making a difference. Coach Red and Fred and Junebug, all my friends that's coaching Little League football. Me and my friend Roosevelt Powell in Birmingham, we send girls to college. We pay for all this stuff, send them off to college, man, and make sure they have sports bras. And some of those girls, man, that play girls basketball don't even have the basic necessities, man. And, you know, and when my man... Ray Ray was living. Jamarcus Russell, that played quarterback for the Raiders, man. You know, I remember going down there, all them crowded in a hotel room, buying them pizza, making sure they had everything they needed for their little high school football stuff. This guy go on to be to go to the NFL, man. We really got to get outside of the box, man, and get out of ourselves, man. And let's start taking care of your own kids, man, and then get a good foundation with them, and then start reaching across that fence, man, and help that little boy across the street. Because I'm going to tell you something, man. be careful how you treat kids, man, to reach out. Because one thing about it, you know where you've been, but you don't know where you're going. You don't know who's going to have to hand you a glass of water or wipe your ass when you can't wipe it yourself. Mm. It might not even be your own biological kid. Good child. It might be a child from across the street that might come see about you when you become an old man and you can't even do for yourself and take you out to the park and get you out of the house and take care of you, man. Life is deep, man. I can sit here all day and go on about some of them old yes. ways, man. But I thank God for my granddaddy, man. It ain't nothing too good for my granddaddy, man. You know, I just thank God for the man that I become. I thank God for my problem. I didn't have a father. My mother, you know, had a struggle with drugs all through high school. And at some point, being in Sunday school and being in church, I made a decision that I was going to buy in and try my best to do what was right. And that's what we all got to do. Let's get these kids in Sunday school. Let's get a movement started. Man, we're going to have you on every week, man, because we got to get these kids back in church and get prayer back in school and get every child out of school to start a Bible study at your school, and let's get involved, man.
Totally agree.
Great topic this morning. Thank you, Dr. Tart.
Thank you, Dr. Tart.
Give us your information.
You can reach me at on Twitter at Dr. Tart, DrTartt, or go to my website, drtart.com. You want me to come to your school to talk about community interventions that work, not just talking about the problem, but putting systems in place that actually work.